For a day like today, bright and shining, soca glory. Everyone with a flag and a smile on their face, bloody daddy of every creed and race, Lord.
Phenomenal, lovely atmosphere.
If the Lord is our shepherd, who shall be here?
No one. Yes, the party starts down here, CKUW 95.9 FM on your dial in Winnipeg. This is Fantastic Friday with Last Week Why. Prince Ugona, Princess Tim Sulam, Queen Victoria, Dr. T and John, who's here but never here. But also here at times is Princess Rachel, editorially and fundamentally all the time. Princess Catherine, doing, speeding in, out, around and about, keeping me here at a nice, smooth shout. Tell them. Hallelujah. Gaia Rhythm Drummers, open up your eyes. Open up your minds. Appreciate what's going on around and about you. And try to do something about it. Talk to others. Talk with others. Share your thoughts.
Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
Specific type of candidate to fill a high-profile job. The province wants someone who can foster a good relationship with U.S. President-elect Donald Trump. The CBC's Ian Fraze explains what Manitoba's premier has in mind.
To get along with the United States' next president, Manitoba Premier Wab Kanew wants to hire someone in Washington who can speak Donald Trump's language.
We need folks who are, dare I say it, a little Trumpy.
Kanew told the business crowd Tuesday, Manitoba will open a trade office in Washington. The move would align Manitoba with provinces that already have offices in the city. Kanew says his government's recent trade mission to the U.S. capital showed how Manitoba was missing out.
We heard, you know, where have you been?
Winnipeg Chamber President Lauren Remillard was part of that trade mission.
Be like Manitoba, oh, we've met with Ontario, we've met with Quebec, we've met with BC. They could name the offices of the other province. They kind of had to scratch their head a little bit and wonder, where is Manitoba?
Kanew saw the value in building those relationships firsthand. His Washington entourage included former Premier Gary Dewar, once Canada's ambassador to the U.S.
Mr. Dewar is great. You know, you walk in, they're like, oh, this is the Premier of Manitoba, Wab Kanew, and oh, yes, hello. And then they see Gary, and they're like, Gary, yes! Remember the time we had a Coors Light at that bar in Montana, right?
Kanew wants the winning candidate to strengthen ties with a country threatening high tariffs. The Premier hopes to have the office running early in the new year. The opposition PCs like that a trade office is opening, given that they pitched the idea.
You heard it here first yesterday.
Kanew says he's open to Manitoba offering financial incentives to promote American investment in his province, like in the mining sector. Ian Fraze, CBC News, Winnipeg.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Made up my mind to live in memory of the lonesome time. It's useless to say. So I'll just live my life in dreams of yesterday. Those happy hours that we once knew still make me blue. They say that time heals a broken heart, but time has to steal since we've been
blessings to the world. Love and kindness all around.
To live in memory.
It's all loving each other or one another. We're going into Hobbes's thought of war all against all. That should not be. Even if you don't believe in a unitary God, it should not be. Because God refers to goodness and righteousness, not wickedness and destruction. This isn't intended as Tabanka music, but this is what we used to call Tabanka music.
With you, my life.
It gives you the feeling you could hear him go way down.
Has been so wonderful.
The bottom of his heart. To express.
Can't stop now.
What he feels and felt. We could look at that globally. Not necessarily singly. Hilliard.
And your love is growing cold. My love is growing stronger as our affair grows. I've been loving you, oh, too long. To stop now. I've been loving you a little too long. I don't want to stop now. Oh, oh, don't make me stop now. Oh,
I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
Someone who loves. tender like I do. You'll never find, no matter where you search, someone who cares about you the way I do. Oh, I'm not bragging on myself, baby, but I'm the one who loves you, and there's no one else. No one else. You'll never find, it'll take the end of all time, someone to understand you like I do. You'll never find the rhythm, the rhyme, all the magic we shared, just us two.
Just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue.
She's good at any time.
I'll wait up
even
for
Christmas
you,
time.
Dear Santa baby.
Love her.
So hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
This is especially for the people
that your baby
who follow their spirituality within this context.
Come to make you new.
You can feel it. These are emotions put into this season for some reason.
Mary, did you know
that your baby boy
that people
would give sight to a blind man.
Peace and love.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy would walk where angels try? When you kiss your little baby, you know you kiss the face of God.
Hey, you're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM. Ka-chow.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceners, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and our uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
Yes, the mighty motion. This is for the people. Can you catch the mood? Can you catch the feeling? Fantastic or Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM on your dial in Winnipeg. This is Ross Rikai with Prince Buna, Princess Chimsul, and Queen Victoria, Dr. T and John, who is here but never yet. But sometime here also is Princess Rachel editorially, but always here is Princess Katrine at this time, continually ensuring we have songs round and round.
Jalil как ночи.
The queen in a de park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the can, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, them want to give me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call a need to over me, man, a fight. And that now one, no time in a them life. Me no cut up, I can model every time. Absolute niceness, come with beer, I'm a first class dress.
Hi, everyone. My name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
Well, hear this. Come.
Where you come from? As long as you're a black man,
a black woman or a black child.
Hey, no mind your nationality. You have got the identity
and perspicacity. Hey,
because if you come from Clarendon,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
it don't matter.
And if you come from
it
West
really don't matter, because coming to you all the way from West Africa in a country called Nigeria, the brother they call Prince Ugona, so bringing news and views from Africa. Prince Ugona, come down.
Yes, good morning, Africa. Good morning to all of our listeners. Unu kedu kekwana. Greetings from Africa. Today's first piece comes from Democracy Now, where Hani Amladun discusses what he calls a targeted assassination. Quote, my brother slowed down the ethnic cleansing of North Gaza, and that's why he was taken out. This is a war against the civilians in Palestine. Listen in.
My brother Mahmoud was targeted and assassinated in the morning of Saturday at 9 a.m. He left the house, walked about 30 yards, and a drone was waiting for him and just launched its rocket, killing him on the spot. He was headed to Kamal Adwan Hospital, where for the past 3 or 4 weeks he's been supporting the hospital with food, delivering food for them, delivering produce from other parts of Gaza, and, you know, even blankets. Everything he had, he gave it to the hospital when he felt the bombs were falling nearby and he could no longer cook for them. He was targeted when the folks who tried to rescue him, or they thought they could save his life, they tried to take him to the hospital. Sniper fired at them, so they tried again. They were shot at, so they decided by then it was too late. They wrapped him in a blanket, took him home, said final goodbye, and buried him in a makeshift grave. And this is my brother, the humanitarian, the father of seven, the youngest, who still does not have a name because there is no office in Gaza to give people names or birth certificates. He was debating. The last argument he had was either to name her Aline or Kauthar, and now she will grow without a dad. He is my partner, he is my buddy, he is my young brother who closed every video he've ever sent me. I send this with greetings and appreciation to my friends in the United States of America. Despite the fact that the bombs killed our brother Majid, American bombs, every video he would send, he would say, for my friends in the United States of America. And now he was assassinated and the target was him. There was nobody else. He is a full-time civilian. In fact, we miss him dearly, and we're still processing this, but I worry for his seven kids. The oldest one is Omar, who was targeted 4 days before the killing of my brother, and he is already receiving medical attention. So you can imagine having to break the news to a kid who's 14 years old, telling him that his dad has been killed, and now he is the family provider. It's overwhelming, Amy, and sadly, my brother is no longer here. We continue to pray for him and tell people, you know, we are still there at the Gaza Soup Kitchen. We're not closing shop, not because we want to make a statement, but because we want to make sure our families have food to eat. This is hunger and famine, both in North Gaza and South of Gaza. My brother slowed down the ethnic cleansing of North Gaza, and that's why he was taken out. So last Black Friday, about November 24th, an American airplane, I believe it was F-16, dropped a big bomb on our family's house, killing my brother Majid, his wife Safa, his daughters Riman, Suwar, Omar, and Ali, the youngest of him, 7 years old. And it's unfortunate because he's also a shopkeeper. He did not deserve to be killed using American weapons. It took us a week to recover their bodies. And we just observed the solemn or anniversary of their killing by Israel. And now, just a day after that, a couple of days after the anniversary of their killing, we observe the killing of our brother Mahmoud. This was so shocking because Mahmoud has been, he's not a nameless and faceless Palestinian like a lot of our family members are. He's been established a profile. He's written an op-ed to the Washington Post. He was in NBC, talked about the work, and people know him. He is just solves problems. He started a medical point that was saving lives when Kamal Adwan Hospital was sieged and people could not go. His medical point will really provide life-saving care. He started a school. It operated for 2 months, and he put the U.S. flag on the school, and in Hebrew it says, please do not bomb, and it was also bombed. So even Israeli press is asking the army, what happened there? There was nobody inside that school. They still bombed it. And actually, they hit it where it says, do not bomb, next to the American flag. And the sign disappeared because of the explosion. And a few days later, they take out Mahmoud, our brother. And it's sad because this is a policy supported by a progressive president. Unfortunately, this is, you know, I work and I support the amazing work of UNRWA. As you know, they're trying to ban UNRWA. And now they're not only banning UNRWA, the largest humanitarian actor inside Gaza, they're also going after small shops like our family soup kitchen that provided meals for 600 families. found out a way to deliver produce to the hospital, and we believe that's why he was targeted, because Kamal Adwan Hospital, they wanted to have it lifeless and people leave the north, and they, Mahmoud, delayed that because he delivered flour and canned goods and diapers and baby formula. This is no longer about killing any Palestinian who's hurting the Israelis. This became about killing any Palestinian who's helping the Palestinians, like my brother, like the other chefs who were killed in the south. But this is tragic. We're not going to be intimidated. Obviously, we're grieved for our brother. He's a good guy, and, you know, we have to take responsibility for his kids and make sure they're taken care of. But also, we're going to make sure we do this as long as we're able to, because his memory, that's what he wanted us to do. And we continue this legacy. That's why I'm talking to you here. And this is why I want to make sure people know that real families that we know that love this country very dearly are also getting targeted. This is no accident. And they have nothing on my brother, Amy. I feel sorry saying this, but in December, the Israeli army abducts any man in the north. They would release them after 24 hours after they checked the records. Twice the Israelis abducted him, like the hundreds of Palestinians, and they would release him after 24 hours. That tells you they have no interest in him. But they targeted him because of the humanitarian and life-saving work in North Gaza.
The second piece, also from Democracy Now!, they were joined in the studio by 972 magazine journalist Haggai Matar to discuss the latest developments in Israel's genocide assault on Gaza. They also have a piece from Ottawa, where in Ottawa over 100 Jewish activists began a sit-in inside the Canadian Parliamentary Building on Tuesday to demand Canada stop arming Israel. Rachel Small, a member of the Jews Say No to Genocide Coalition and a member of the sit-in, says that the Canadian government claims that it is halting arms shipments to Israel are obfuscating the fact that Canadian weapons are and still being transported via the United States. Very interesting stuff, and I encourage you to listen in.
First, it started from a Yom Kippur reflection of myself, of why have I not done enough? I've been running 972, co-directing Local Call in Hebrew, trying to fight for the rights of Palestinians and push back against the horrific acts of massacre and ethnic cleansing my country has been committing in Gaza. And yet it feels like it's just not enough. And why have we not done enough? What could we possibly do more? So it started with a very personal reflection, trying to analyze the reasons of not doing enough, and then saying, well, we have to commit, we have to double down. And especially now with the upcoming Trump presidency, I think this is also a call to Americans saying, your government is clearly not going to get any better at this in the near future. We need people on the ground mobilizing and taking action, supporting BDS, trying to move the needle and pressuring Israel into ending these atrocities. One of the most heartbreaking realities of the situation is that Israelis don't get the news that everyone else in the world is getting. The images from Beit Lahia and from Jabalia, the just atrocities we're seeing there, the death, the destruction, the starvation, that is not being shown on Israeli television, Israeli newspapers. And therefore, when something like this comes out, a decision from the ICC, basically their response from wall to wall, we're talking about the entire Zionist politics, so that's about 110 out of 120 members of the Knesset, are just saying, this is an anti-Semitic court, this is anti-Semitic media, like everyone is anti-Semitic. And of course, you know, just offering complete support to Netanyahu, even the people who hate him the most. An exception to that has been in recent days, Moshe Bogi Yaalon, a former chief of staff, was actually the chief of staff that sent me to 2 years in prison for his war crimes, now saying, yes, these warrants are justified. So Yaalon was the chief of staff in the second intifada. That's when I refused the draft because of his war crimes. We were at the time chanting at him, one day we'll see you at The Hague. We never imagined it would be as a witness for the prosecution. To suddenly see him talking about the same sort of actions that he was doing, but clearly much, much worse right now, the ethnic cleansing, the starvation that he's enforcing, is absolutely incredible. He's doing it as part of his attempt to fight against the Netanyahu drive for authoritarianism. So he's been very active in the kind of so-called Israeli protest for democracy, even before the war in Gaza. That has been his policy. I think he connects the dots, as one should, between the attack on democratic institutions inside of Israel and the ethnic cleansing and massacre and war crimes against Palestinians. However, unfortunately, in interviews where he's been going on Israeli television, basically from wall to wall, journalists have been saying, are you mad? You're just endangering our soldiers. What are you talking about? There's no war crimes. So because viewers don't have the context of what has actually been happening, he just sounds like a madman to many people. But I do think it does cause some people pause to think, why would someone with his credentials make such serious accusations?
Hagai, you asked if people are doing enough. I want to break into this conversation with this breaking news. In Canada, about 150 Jewish activists and allies have just launched a protest inside the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa to demand Canada stop arming Israel. We're joined now by Rachel Small, a member of the group Jews Say No to Genocide Coalition. Rachel, can you describe where you are and what you're doing and what you're calling for?
Thank you. We are in a Parliament Hill building right now. We have completely taken over the lobby of this building that has hundreds of parliamentarians' office in here. Our demand is clear. Canada needs to stop arming Israel and implement an immediate arms embargo. We know that every F-35 fighter jet, every Boeing Apache helicopter dropping bombs on Lebanon and Gaza right now is full of hundreds of Canadian components. We're here as Jews to say this violence cannot continue in our name. And we're here as people of conscience to say that the absolute bare minimum Canada needs to be doing right now is stop arming a genocide.
All who hold onto it in strength will thrive.
Hagai Matar, your response to these kinds of actions occurring abroad, does this have an impact on the Israeli public?
Well, first of all, I want to commend the activists on the ground now in Ottawa. It's incredible. This is the exact kind of protest that people should be taking on in Canada, definitely in the U.S., which is the biggest supplier of weapons and funding and diplomatic support to Israel. So, yes, this is what we should be seeing more of. I'm afraid that in Israel, again, these protests are usually seen as anti-Semitic, or in the case of Jews protesting, so self-hating Jews or people that are, you know, unhinged. That's the way it's being perceived. It's our job as Jewish Israelis on the ground, talking in Hebrew, talking to people in our communities, to try and help them understand that it's not the world that's gone mad. It's us.
Interesting that the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, just met with President-elect Trump in Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Rachel Small, we're looking at the group of people. One of them, I think, says Jews for Free Palestine. What has been Trudeau's position and what's going to happen to you this morning?
We have seen an unprecedented wave of resistance across Canada over the past 13 months. Many, many thousands of people across the country, not only petitioning their MPs, not only protesting, not only meeting with them, but actually holding blockades at weapons factories, doing literally everything they can to get Canada to stop arming Israel. And that pressure has resulted in the Canadian government taking a stance that we would have not thought possible a year or two ago. They have committed to stop arming Israel. They have, in fact, the Foreign Affairs Minister recently, in fact, said that Canadian weapons are not going to be going and used in Gaza. Unfortunately, it's not true. Unfortunately, we know that they have not canceled all the permits, and they have continued to conveniently send weapons to the U.S. without even requiring a permit. Those are going into every F-35 Israel is using. That is going into Israel's primary weapons of war. So we have backed the Canadian government into a corner where they know what the right stance is. They know they need to stop arming Israel, and we're here to make sure they do it. The broad Arms Embargo Now coalition has come together across the country and has, in fact, gotten 45 parliamentarians to formally endorse the call for an arms embargo. We just need the government to step up and take that action to actually cut off the flow of all weapons to and from Israel. It's the bare minimum they need to be doing.
That's Rachel Small, member of Jews Say No to Genocide Coalition. If you're having a little trouble understanding her, she's inside the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa. There are scores of people behind her. Lead Canadian organizer with the group World Beyond War. And in the studio with us in New York, though usually in Tel Aviv, is Hagai Matar, Israeli journalist, activist, executive director of 972 Magazine, a conscientious objector himself. Juan?
So obviously, Trump appointments and Trump policies are terrifying to us and should be to anyone who cares about the rights of Palestinians. I do want to also point out, however, Trump policies have an inherent contradiction. As an isolationist, Trump does not want to get involved in too many wars. As someone who wants to break deals with Saudi Arabia and Arab Gulf states, he may want to ensure that they don't drift into the Iran-China field of influence. And those two policies, being pro-annexation and pro-settlements and pro-Israel, and being pro-war and wanting to sign deals, they collide. And I think it's our role on the left to kind of put a wedge in there and try and make sure that it becomes more and more apparent how those policies conflict with each other.
Yeah, man. Greetings and blessed love and kindness. We hear a lot of different reports showing that the destruction of the Palestinians are still going on, marching on, while most of the news is absent. Well, here we're going to talk on a brief digression. We're going over to Sudan. We're going to talk to Abraham Yusuf, a Darfurian, or a full person who will tell us a little more what's going on, number one, in Darfur, and number two, in general, in Sudan. Good morning, Abraham.
Good morning, Mr. Rico.
How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. Yeah, I want to give you some kind of brief description of the rebel forces and how they created in Sudan. Yeah, first of all, this group of Norman, they just came in Sudan, I think, with the diversification. And they created the organized group with the Prime Minister. His name is Sadiq al-Mahdi, a long time ago. And after that, they just, the militia, they used to support the army. Sorry. And, yeah, they used to be in there. And they just, if you just evaluate it as in the video as a tribe, their culture is totally different from the Sudanese culture, is because they have in their culture like a rape or the stealing or the killing, that is not crime. And that is a difference between the Sudanese people and the rabbit tribe people. And after that, when war coup is come with Bashir, Sudan became as a dictator system in the Sudan. Bashir saw that he was want to create the Pacific Islamic forces to support his own government, and he just already that people was there. And he just developing them and supporting them as resembling like Iran. And they supporting, and this first person he appointed, his name is Musa Abdullah Hilal, and the leader of the group. And the first thing they commit the crime in the south of Darfur, and that was a genocide in 2003. And that continuously just sabotaging and Ramadan attacking the African people in Darfur. after that, when they just get this agreement between Bashir and Musa Hilal, and Bashir forced Musa Hilal to flee the group. And he right away hired the guy, his name is Muhammad Hamdan Dogolo, as the leader of the group. And he gave him the title, and he will receive the message directly from the Bashir. He protecting the Bashir's government and the Bashir's people surrounded. And that's why he was just committing the crime all over the Darfur. And in the different, and they just randomly, but they have the specific policy, the specific tribe. And in era of the Hamdan Dogolo, they commit the genocide also in the province. His name is Niala. In the tribe, it's called Dajo, burning them. And that is a horrific genocide also happening there. And after that, one just war broke out in the Khartoum in 2023. They commit also a genocide in the province. It's called Niar and Ginena. In the Pacific tribe, is called Masalit, and that they just dig the hole and just fill the people alive, and also they just kill them, many Masalit people, and cut them down, and for the other Masalit to make barbecue to eat, to keep their brothers to eat, in order to humiliate them and force them to flee the whole area, and that province was close with the Tashad, and people flee on walking to the Tashad in order to get safe. That kind of crime is committed in Darfur, and now these people are rabid with the rabid forces. They committed the crime all over the Sudan, every province. There is a blood there. There is separation of the people. And there is a killing, and there is whatever you just in your brain, you can see the kind of crime is committing in Darfur there, and also in the Sudan, and specifically in the province of Madani, in the rural area, they're burning the villages and they're killing the people, and that kind of a crime they commit in Sudan. And the question here is, if you are one of the Sudanese, and somebody coming in your family and kill your dad and rape your sister and your mom and kill them and kill your brothers, younger brothers, how you see that guy, and he looted every collected things of that the family collection and send back to the where he came from. And now he occupy your father's home. And how you see that guy? What you think? And what can you do? And that is a position or the point in front of the Sudanese people as the original Sudanese original. And that's why. Let the Sudanese become to put their difference to outside, the difference of side, and became as the Sudanese together to unite it in order to face this kind of problem. And thank you for this opportunity, and I appreciate it, and thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you so much, Ibrahim. You know, it's good to learn about this different side of the conversation and to actually, you know, have a more narrow focus on it. So I really appreciate you coming, and we look forward to what you have for us next week.
Yeah, I thank you. I appreciated your program, and thank you for the CKW to take care of the Sudan. In all the Sudan, already the people left behind. And thank you for the CK in the sense of the humanity. They are not forget the Sudan as the people, as a country, as a country, and as a people. And I appreciate it for that.
Fantastic Friday. Thanks you. And CKUW, thank you for connecting us with information that we not getting from the mainstream media or don't wish to get from the mainstream media. Go ahead, Ugona.
I just recall, you know, there was a piece last week that we played from the climate change conference, whereby, you know, a young lady was also mentioning, you know, that the reason she was there was because the Sudanese situation is not receiving attention, you know, whether it's in the mainstream media or in, you know, different local media around town, you know, there isn't enough coverage, you know. So I'm glad that we as a station and we as a show are able to kind of discuss that.
Tap into his.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, Ibrahim, if you recall that lady speaking last week, if you wanted to comment on what she said.
Yeah, that really, first of all, I appreciate it, and I appreciate that connection. I surprised and encouraged me, because there is other people, they still have the kind of feeling of the archive of the relation with the Sudanese problem there. And yes, they're still talking about the Sudan, and I appreciated that he being able to present that kind of news and tell him the world, they forget the Sudan and forget the Sudanese people. And he mentioned that, really, I appreciate it, and I just support that he will continue, and we will continue to support him and to tell the world what is going on in Sudan, in order to know the truth in the Sudan, what is going on.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Yeah, best of thanks to you too.
Thank you.
All right, we look forward more times.
Oh, okay, no problem. Next Friday.
Ivy.
Bye.
Yeah? I thought I would have heard the WRHA lady come in and say, and what is this program all about? But either we missed her or she hasn't come on yet. So you hold tight. We're going to start up with some jam and keep it going until such time. Po!
All right. I don't care if your nanny was black, or you ate grits for breakfast every morning, and you knew a girl in high school, a black girl, and she was nice. I don't care if your nanny was black, because Michael Griffiths is dead, killed by white youths who got her free, even though witnesses testified to their crime. So I don't care, you hear? I don't care, because black woman Tawana Brawley was raped by four white cops who are still out on the street. And Donald Trump takes out a three-page ad in the New York Times calling for the death of six black youth accused of raping a white woman. So I don't care if your nanny was black and you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a black girl in high school and she was nice. I don't care, you hear? I don't care, cause for too long we have held our pain in our very flesh. For too long our bleeding hearts in our chest.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Good morning, Martin. Where's he?
How's it going?
Oh, just love and kindness and good spirituality coming out from Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM on your dial in Winnipeg.